amores. Yes, estamos festejando aquí en Esferio porque parece que es el cumpleaños de nuestro Claudio.
Our newest Happy birthday, Claudio.
Esferioite. Happy birthday.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Thank you so much.
The music that we're playing, of course, is Cielito Lindo. La música tradicional para quien cumpleaños. Nunca entendí por qué, pero bueno, así es, ¿no?
It just works.
It just works, exactly.
It's a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's a happy song.
So, how old are you? Are you celebrating your quinceañero?
I don't think I'm backtracking a little bit from there. But thanks a lot. That was very nice.
Awesome. All right. Well, stay tuned for the wild and wacky, I mean, very serious and very meaningful music for human beings. And we will be back with you two more times before
leaving to be transformed
into some sort of
different,
beautiful
new
butterfly or something like that, right?
Okay. It will be beautiful either way.
See.
So please, people, tune in again tomorrow, next Friday.
Yes.
At 6 o'clock, and don't forget to educate yourself and get involved.
Yeah, así es. Okay.
there. It's time for bubbles and a splendid fuzziness. Very, very fuzzy. Marhaban to you. I am Dr. Janis Sakran here on Music for Human. I'm just sitting here enjoying the bubbliness and fuzziness of the whales. Hear them say hello. We are joined this evening by Aurora. Aurora, welcome.
And welcome to you, Dr. Jalas. It is so wonderful to be back.
Well, Aurora, it is wonderful to have you here again. Aurora is a speech specialist.
A vocal therapist, Dr. Jalas.
It's a vocal therapist.
I specialize in the therapy of voices, in finding the troubles that lie beneath a person's exterior, and is always expressed through their vocal resonances. And I soothe them.
You soothe the expression?
I soothe the troubled resonances, like lotion soothes cracks on a skin. It is those cracks that they tell of a deeper story. In one skin they tell of a lack of nourishment, a lack of water, a spiritual lack perhaps. Cracks in the skin, cracks in the voices tell a deeper story still. But they all come down to the lotion that's soothed upon them.
Smoothing the lotion, smoothing the voice. And what happens with a voice that is so smooth?
A voice that is smooth can only yearn for better resonances. It can only yearn to be smoother. As your soul can only improve, can only be bettered.
Like a lost robot.
Indeed, lost robots tend to have rather crackled voices. Or beep-like vibrations.
Beep-like, you mean very sharp, like a string?
Very sharp, very one note. If you look at the noise of a robot in space-time, if you look at what the scientists call a Fourier transform, you see one sharp peak, just one, like icicles, like the cliffs, the pointed cliffs, the lack of grass upon them, you can see in the voice of a robot. and the voice of a human you see rolling hills and waves upon the sea and clouds above. Just rolling and gathering and looming, depending on the emotions of that who is speaking. And the screaming of the whales, you can hear them now, can you not? They also tell a story. Although to us it is a screaming, to the whales, pleasure and happiness, and comfort in the presence of one another. That is the story, Dr. Jollis. What is yours?
Well, earlier today, I spent a lot of time, trying on different pairs of pants. And my experience there has been somewhat unusual. I am very strict about wearing particular types of clothes, because like all things, I feel like your choices there have a profound effect on you as a person. So,
And the listener may not know this, but Dr. Jollis often wears a dress-like, robe-like garment.
Precisely. I earlier today was wearing a brown wool, what they call an abaya, which is a very formal dress. And I say dress not because it is similar to a dress. Although mostly the people whom I spoke to today compared it favorably with some character and some film that I was not... I had heard of, but I had never seen.
Perhaps Merlin.
They kept saying Obi-Wan to me, or something like that. But to me, I found it a very elegant robe. It's interesting how the differences in perception can be formed simply by what philosophers might call your lights. So that, there's a beautiful image there that you were raised as a blue person. So everything that you see is cast in a blue light. And your experience of something, it is distinct from mine, who has experienced it and read it as a person in a red light or another color.
If you'd like to join in with your light, our number is 617-253-8810.
And we have two lines open. Marhaban, caller.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
I was in the spirit of the speech therapy angle and the dress angles. Dress is sort of a component of accentuating the body in a way that reverb is a way of accentuating the voice. And I was wondering if you might be using reverb on the phone callers' calls tonight.
Well, we so far the engineer is gesturing that he has not, but that he could.
I think it would be an interesting thing to experiment with.
Shall we have the engineer experiment?
I think it's a good idea.
Well, let's make the gesture for him. He's raising the reverb now.
Okay. It's kind of like a delay. I kind of like that.
It's like an echo.
It's exactly a delay overlaid with the present, so that we may transcend time slightly.
Let's bring in a second voice now. Caller 2, marhaban.
Hi, I was wondering what reverb is all about.
Well, reverb, I believe, is a sort of sound effect.
Like for reggae music?
No, more like for to create artificially the sounds that would be generated if one were in a large cavernous area. So.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And reverb is actually an abbreviation.
Is it for what?
For reverberation.
Reverberation.
Yeah, precisely. So it's like the ancient Greek character Echo, who called out and would be
heard. much like a thespian.
No, I think not.
Many thespians do undergo reverb, however, in their acts upon the stage.
You know, I believe they could whisper at the bottom of the stage and you could actually hear it in the top rows.
Yeah, I think it's also possible. Yeah, but the reverb system here, obviously we are not placing the caller in a large cavern. We have an electrical device that tricks the mind and the ear and creates a similar sensation.
Oh, exactly. Hey, by the way, I just wanted to say that I really, really love your show.
Well, thank you so much for listening.
It's really unbelievable.
And thank you for being a part of it with us.
Oh, absolutely.
Would you also like to be placed under reverb with the other caller?
You're welcome to join me with the reverb.
Sure, why not?
So the engineer has gestured that you are also in a reverb.
You should try it out.
I think the gentleman will sound better with the reverb.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's better.
It's an
Echo!
An unusual...
I was wondering, in terms of the effects that are in use, we're dealing with plate reverb, spring reverb, or digital reverb.
Now, I think that all of the systems that we are using now are analog systems, but my training in electrical devices and audio channels is very limited and ended.
Well, caller, we do see wires everywhere, wires and switches. I wonder what effect would occur if we had a large man standing in front of the microphone with a disc. A dish. Sorry.
A dish.
Would we get the reverb?
What kind of a dish?
A parabolic dish.
Oh, I see. You're talking about the difference between plate reverb and dish reverb.
Yes.
Well, for that matter, we could talk about pan reverb and pot reverb.
Yeah, I'm not really in a position to speak intelligently on these things.
I'm also trained only in the untempered resonances of the voice. This is quite a disturbing song.
Should we move on to a different...
It's a little dissonant.
This is also very unusual. Let's bring back the whales, please. Where are the whales?
Is that in a cart or on a CD?
I think we have mostly LPs.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
There we are, high-quality whale sound.
I appreciate the all analog setup that you have.
We very much like analog. There are features, of course, of the digital use that are, you know, advantageous. But my comfort is with analog things, and hence with my engineer, who is very analog also.
When your engineer gestures, is that a practiced set of gestures, or is it sort of improvisational gestures?
Well, we both speak a little bit of American Sign, so we communicate that way.
It's very interesting to watch them communicate non-verbally. It's, I feel somewhat blinded when I watch them sign at one another.
But it's an extremely expressive form of communication in its own way, you know.
Is it mostly hand gestures? Is there hand and head? Is a full body involved?
Well, a lot of it has to do with a hand, the shape of the hand, the position and movement of the hand, and but a lot of the meaning is also carried by the expression on one's face. So just as when one is speaking, you know, in a verbal, in a vocal language, you know, the difference between no and no is clear, right? That even though I'm speaking the same word, in the first case, by intoning it upward in pitch, that I have made it into a question, right? Something I am not certain of. But in the second, it is more even imperative. You know, I'm saying, no, you know, cease the action that you have taken. And similarly, in sign, if one gestures, you know, by you know, positioning the eyebrows and by tilting the head forward or backward, in a very natural way, one can change the same sign from a question into a statement or a negation or what have you.
Makes sense to me.
As it may be. So I've found that the very few members of the deaf community that I have met are very expressive in their faces.
Are both callers still with us at this moment?
I don't hear the other caller. I think he might have gotten offended from the the turning off of the reverb.
Oh, would we like to bring the reverb back? Caller two. So I think the second caller is gone.
Yes.
Which means, of course, for our listeners, that we have a line available at 617-253-8810.
I would like to talk about the rustling of the trees. I find that when trees rustle, it's just such a beautiful melody. Such a beautiful sensation rushes through your body.
The last time that I have heard of tree rustling described in this way was in Homer's Odyssey, in his description of the siren song as it was heard by Odysseus, that he described it as containing sounds that included the rustlings of leaves and also, I believe, the walking of spiders, which I always found intriguing because I have never really thought of these as the ideal sounds, the most attractive sounds to a person.
After living in the city for so long, going back to a place with many trees that seem to sway with one another and communicate and commune, the rustling, the chirping of the birds within them, the scratches of the squirrels, and of all those strange little creatures, those bugs, woodpeckers. It's so refreshing to remember that the world really is around us, that we are not stuck in this concrete maze.
Yeah, I don't like concrete.
because of its hardness, or Aurora, why? What is the...
It is stifling and it smells strange. It feels unnatural, unsatisfying.
So it's unusual to me because, you know, in the places that I was raised, it was, especially initially, I rarely saw concrete. And I've never found it, perhaps for that reason, to be a bad thing. Let's bring another voice in.
I kind of, you know, you think about concrete and one of the first things you think about is rebar.
Hmm.
And rebar sounds like reverb.
And reverb, of course, is a very, very unusual and interesting thing. Caller 2, are you with us?
Yes, how are you?
Marhaban, we are well. Well, I speak for myself, of course, I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. I was just thinking, I heard you talking about concrete, and when concrete settles, they call it concrete cancer.
Concrete cancer.
Yeah.
Okay, can you explain?
Well, it becomes a cancer because of the concrete. They're usually buildings and lots of people live in them. And they become like concrete.
Caller, I'm sorry. The engineer is indicating that perhaps you are close to the radio.
I'm sorry.
So
that's like that was like that when you have feedback like that, you can almost kind of call that audio cancer as it sort of feeds on itself.
So the idea is, of course, that it is tumorous, that the growth is unnatural.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
See, caller, to me, let us step back because
I have to step back away from the phone at this point. But I appreciate the show. I hope you all have a wonderful rest.
The little girl sounds awful. Nice when she reverbs.
Thank you for joining us.
Namaste, caller.
So, back to the cancer. You know, we have all sorts of growths on our bodies. We have hair which grows, and we have nails and skin. But none of these are cancerous because the growth is, I think, even if the hair growth is rapid, it is not... it's not regarded as necessarily harmful.
Well, it's not unexpected. It's something that occurs naturally in your body and you are adapted to the world around you to have this hair growth.
So it is a desirable thing because it serves a function or in what sense? Because my point here is that that if we had a growth of, say, I'm not sure, bumblebees or a species of worm that grew and they built buildings which were harmful in some way to our function, then that would be something that I think would be legitimately called a cancerous thing.
But look from the perspective of all those creatures that we have displaced to put our homes here.
Yeah. It's almost like the industrial age. That's what happened when the industrial age came in. They tore down all the rustling trees and put up cancer buildings.
I see.
Quiet, silent.
So from the sense that...
It's almost metaphorical.
I see. So like an alien looking down would see these growths and think... This is a sick planet with a tumor.
A really big tumor.
Hmm.
Maybe with bumblebees all over it.
I think, I'm not sure. I mean, to me, I remember the illness, you know, sometimes in my village, you know, and or in the roaming communities. And I see that there are certainly positive aspects to these buildings, and I'm not sure.
I don't
sure.
think a hut could become cancerous.
If there were no positive aspects, if there was no benefit to humans, these buildings would not be there. These cancerous.
Well, I'm not sure that is true. I mean,
we build them out of convenience.
Yeah, but
they don't work for the people.
It may still be some, you know, matter of localized efficiency that...
That is exactly the point I'm making, though, Dr. Jollis.
No, let's step back and look at something that... Well, okay. So we have in some communities where I have been, there are services, you know, these shops that open, which are like payday loans, for example. And that, to me, is exists because there is a localized efficiency, that the people that are living there are not being paid enough that they can survive, you know, and save from one paycheck to the next, so they have to take a payday loan. And so then when their check comes, the loaner will take a portion of the check in advance. Mm. So the result is, of course, they didn't have enough money when they had their full paycheck, so they continue to have to take, and until they are owned by the proprietor. And so this is a very, I think, scary thing, and that to me is humorous. But like, there are institutions that I regard as serving the communities that they are in, and so there is, I see a distinction there.
Well, again, you are not taking a long enough view. In the current times, yes, people benefit from these streets, these sidewalks. They get from place to place very quickly. But at the same time, we are killing the world. We are leading to global warming and excess pollutants in the air. And that is going to kill us in the end. That is going to harm human life.
So the point is, benefit in a local way, but overall, there is harm.
Yeah, it's usually from the federal government to build these large project-type concrete buildings. Mm. And the people become concrete and diseased because of the poverty.
And it's such a beautiful thing you just said, that people become concrete. You see so many people going through their lives mindlessly, never reaching their full mental potential, never understanding or reaching outside of their concrete box.
But that is probably why they're here on this planet, to experience that.
To be concrete temporarily, yeah, as opposed to being an abstract spirit.
They need to be concrete for some reason, some karma. I was wondering how do you like the rustling of the trees in the winter?
They rustle very differently.
Aurora?
It's almost a whistling at times.
Oh yeah, whistling, the crackling.
Yes, exactly.
Or I recall the
sirens.
A creaking.
Creaking. Yeah,
you know, as
yeah,
the ancient tree.
What about reverberation?
Of the creaking, or I see you mean like the denuded tree permits the audio to transmit. So like an empty room, there is an echo where there was previously no echo.
Well, caller, there was a beautiful oak tree outside my home when I was a young child, right outside my window actually, and the leaves would remain on it throughout the winter. It was such a beautiful, crunchy rustling.
Crunchy rustling. I like that. Crunchy rustling.
And then the springtime, the leaves would fall off to allow the new life to begin.
Yeah, the oak leaves last forever. So I just called to say hello, and great show, and I hope you get another caller.
Thank you so much for being with us, caller.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Masalama.
There's so many beautiful sounds in the world these days. I particularly miss the thunderclouds from where I come.
And tell us then about these clouds.
They were booming, whirling clouds. Such such thunderous clouds with streaks of lightning. It was somewhat dangerous, but it gave everyone a sense of being so alive, being that close to something so big and so natural and so much greater than all of us. It's actually the streaks of lightning that led me to where I am today.
The lightning led you. You mean guided you directly, like you walked in the direction of the lightning or away from the lightning?
Somewhat, and yet metaphorically, the streaking lightning through the sky gave me such fear, such terror, and such a sense of beauty. And I wish to understand all these sensations and to control them and to be controlled by them.
To submit yourself to control, but in a, it sounds like a very basic thing, like in a way that it's a an atavistic response to submit yourself to a core response, which is, I think, most directly fear and respect of a great, great force.
Exactly. Fear of a great force and understanding how much larger than myself the world actually is. And that led me down the New Age path. New Age tree, shall I say, perhaps. New Age bush. There really isn't a path.
I sort of hesitate to use the word sometimes because it means so many things. To me, you know, we refer to this program as New Age Talk Radio because it sort of catch all, and we would like to welcome as many people as we can.
That's what's so lovely about the whole New Age movement, is that all ideas are respected and smiled upon. Anybody would like your understanding and your ideas to be smiled upon, please join us. Call 617-253-8810. Widen our circle and our understanding. Join into the collective.
Sent a short story earlier which I found very interesting. The short story, I'm not sure if I should simply read it or how it should be presented.
Do you have it with you?
I think that it could be retrieved.
Well, is it in dialogue form? Perhaps we can perform it.
It is essentially a dialogue. Should we experiment with it?
Sure.
All right. I will retrieve it in a moment. retrieved it. The short story is called The Egg by Andy Weir. So it is a dialogue between two people. So shall I begin? You were on your way home when you died. It was a car accident. Nothing particularly remarkable, but fatal nonetheless. You left behind a husband and two children. It was a painless death. The EMTs tried their best to save you, but to no avail. Your body was so utterly shattered, you were better off. And that is when you met me.
What happened? Where am I?
You died, I said matter-of-factly.
There was a truck and it was skidding.
Yes.
I died?
Yes, but don't feel bad. Everyone dies.
What is this place? Is this the afterlife?
More or less.
Are you God?
Yes, I am God.
My kids, my husband.
What about them?
Will they be all right?
This is a good feeling. You have died, and your concern is for your family. That is excellent. You looked at me with fascination. To you, I did not look like God. I looked like some man, or perhaps a woman, some authority figure, a grammar school teacher, perhaps, more likely than the Almighty. Don't worry, they'll be fine. Your kids will remember you as perfect. They did not have time to grow contempt for you. Your husband will cry, but will be secretly relieved. To be fair, your marriage was falling apart. If it is any consolation, he will feel very guilty for his relief.
Oh, so what happens now? Do I go to heaven or hell or something?
Neither. You will be reincarnated.
Ah, so the Hindus were right.
All religions are right in their own way. Walk with me.
Where are we going?
Nowhere in particular. It's simply nice to walk while we talk.
So what's the point then? When I get reborn, I'll just be a blank slate, right? A baby. So all my experiences and everything I did in this life, they won't matter.
Not so. You have within you all of the knowledge and experiences of all of your past lives. You simply cannot remember. Your soul is magnificent, beautiful, and more gigantic than you can possibly imagine. A human mind can only contain a tiny fraction of what you are. It is like sticking your finger in a glass of water to see if it is hot or cold. You put in a tiny part of yourself into the vessel, and when you bring it back, you've gained all of the experience it has had. You have been a human for the last 48 years, so you have not stretched and felt the rest of your immense consciousness. If we remained here, you would begin to remember everything, but there is no point in remembering between each life.
How many times have I been reincarnated then?
Many, many times, in many, many different lives. This time you will be a Chinese peasant girl in 540 AD.
What? I mean, you're sending me back in time?
Well, technically, yes. Time, as you know it, exists only in your universe. Things are different where I come from.
Where do you come from?
Certainly, I come from somewhere else. There are others like me. I know you will want to know what it's like there, but honestly, you would not understand.
Oh, but wait, if I get reincarnated in other places in time, I could have interacted with myself at some point.
Certainly, it happens often, and with both lives only aware of their own lifespan, you don't even know it is happening.
So what's the point of it all?
You seriously are asking me now for the meaning of life. Is that not stereotypical?
Well, it's a reasonable question.
The meaning of life, the reason I created this universe, is for you to mature.
You mean mankind? You want mankind to mature?
No, you only. I made this whole universe for you. With each new life, you grow and mature and become a larger and greater intellect.
Just me? What about everyone else?
There is no one else. In this universe, there is only you and me.
But all the people on Earth...
All you. Different incarnations of you.
I'm everyone?
Now you understand.
Is every human being... I am every human being who ever lived?
Or who will ever live, yes.
I'm Abraham Lincoln.
And John Wilkes Booth.
I'm Hitler.
And you are the millions he killed.
I'm Jesus.
And everyone who followed him. Every time you victimized someone, you are victimizing yourself. Every act of kindness you've done has been to yourself. Every happy and sad moment ever experienced by any human was or will be experienced by you.
Why? Why do all this?
Because someday you will become like me. Because that is what you are. You are one of my kind, my child.
Whoa, you mean I'm a god?
No, not yet. You are a fetus. You are growing. Once you have lived every human life throughout all time, you will have grown enough to be born.
So the whole universe is just...
It's an egg. Now it is time for you to move on to your next life. And I sent you on your way.
Such a beautiful story.
I really enjoyed it. It is very nice, and I'm sorry to the many callers that we ignored during our recitation. But I feel it was best uninterrupted. If you would like to call now in the remaining time, the number is 617-253-8810. I think it is a very interesting take on the on really very classical motifs. So we have two callers here. Let's bring them on one by one. Caller one, marhaban.
Hello.
Hello, welcome, caller.
Hey, I was calling because I wasn't really hearing any of the Catholic perspective in what you were saying, and I feel like the Catholics are pretty underrepresented these days on the radio and on television, and it's not good.
Well, thank you for that perspective, caller. Let's bring another voice in then with us. Caller two, marhaban. Caller two?
Hello?
Yes, welcome, caller.
I'm kind of concerned about superstitions. And, I'd like to know your view on luck and superstitions. I've just been kind of worried about them.
Well, what is your fear there, caller? Why the worry?
It's not necessarily a fear. It's more like I don't know. It's like I'm just kind of worried about everything. It's worriness.
Why the anxiety then, if it's not fear?
Well, it's really hard to explain. Just try to hear me out. It's like I'm concerned about everything. Like, no matter what, I trace things back to certain things. And it's really hard to explain. Do you know what I mean?
Well, caller, I confess to being a little lost here. You trace things? Is that right? Aurora, do you...
Well, I do hear the anxiety in the caller's voice. I feel as though you are perhaps... like a needle.
Hello?
That is stuck on a record.
Yes, caller? You're a needle. Caller?
Oh, hello?
Yes. Are you still able to hear?
Yes.
I believe the caller has experienced what we normally call lag.
Lag. Well, I think... So, Aurora, about this anxiety, and clearly the caller has a genuine worry, but about superstition... In particular, caller, are you yourself a superstitious person? Caller?
I'm sorry, I'm having a little hard time hearing you. Hello?
Yes, we are with you, caller. I'm you know, I'd like to help, but I'm afraid we're a little lost here.
I'm a little lost?
No, we are lost. We are confused.
Okay.
The problem.
Let us perhaps try bringing another voice on the air.
Let's bring another voice then and call it.
Okay. Have a great night.
Yes. Caller?
Hello?
Yes, welcome to the air, caller.
Hi, hold on one second. Let me turn down my radio.
Thank you, caller.
Yes, all right. So, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you so much for widening our circle.
Thank you. Me and my friend were just listening to your story, and it totally blew our minds. Like, I never really, thought about it in that way, like, reincarnation, but, like, I guess that's where all the souls, come from, you know? Like, I'm you, and, you're me.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, to, you know, when I read this story, I began wondering if the various people who I met who were variously not spiritual or who had an immature outlook, you know, who had a capacity to hurt someone, if that was possibly a younger version of us.
Right, before you had learned. Yeah, totally.
Very unusual.
Yeah. I wonder if you could ever know, when you came across someone who, that you were coming across yourself?
I wondered that. Is it possible that, that by speaking to someone that you certainly are able to get that sensation of
connectedness,
but more so that I feel more connected with a particular person, and there is some idea that that maybe I could tell that this person, you know, I regard them as a very old person, in a very mature way.
Yeah. Actually, I was just, when you guys were talking about that, I think my grandmother was one of those people, and I was just thinking about this time when I was speaking to her, and I was 7, and I told her that I thought that we sort of already knew everything that we knew, but we just had forgotten it when we were a little baby, and that we had to just be reminded, you know.
That's what do you think about that? It's a very Socratic view.
Yeah.
Socrates had a similar view. Let's bring another voice in finally. Stay with us, caller.
Okay.
Caller 4, welcome.
Marhaba.
Marhaba.
I was in Florida last week. I didn't get a chance to call. But you were talking about dying and meeting God, and it reminded me that I heard a story about someone who died and saw God, and he saw God as a 30-foot humongous chicken.
As a chicken.
Yeah. And it changed everything in his life. Because chickens don't really care.
Yeah, so he met God, and his impression of this, the creator of the universe, was as an uncaring avian.
No, a 30-foot chicken.
Yeah.
I've heard this story. It's really interesting. The guy asked him he sort of asked somewhere in the story, what's the point? And I said, correct me if I'm wrong, other caller, but doesn't he say what do you mean? I'm happy so long as they bring me food and clean out my coop.
Yes, that's it. And so they don't. There's no requirements to make a chicken happy. Just to feed them, and so it releases mankind from all sorts of rules.
But to
man, that's so awesome. I just want to be in your head.
But to me,
no accidents and no casting and guilt.
Now, the caller, to me, the point of the story, this one, the egg, is that you know, the rules, all of these, you know, patterns of behavior, they are, the point is no more than for you yourself to develop and to mature.
It's a lot of work, though. You get it, Nick.
I'm not saying it's an easy thing.
A lot. I mean, time after time, it's a lot of work.
It is.
I think a chicken would be better.
It's a great deal of effort, but the reward is to ourselves. We you know, it's like the difference between a young person who may spend all of his money on candies and an older, more mature person. Who will instead, you know, set his money aside for the moment when he is really in need?
It's a long wait, though. Long.
Mm. Well, perhaps, caller, the point of this story is that whenever you do not follow these rules, you are harming another version of yourself.
But what if you just don't fast? And have guilt. What if you just enjoy everything and be really good to the chicken?
Well, part of that enjoyment is being able to be treated wonderfully by those around you. If those around you acted selfishly, then you would not be so happy. But perhaps there is some equilibrium there. Perhaps you can find an equilibrium within yourself with those rules.
I thought you read this story very nicely. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much, caller.
Yeah, thank you very much, caller.
Good night.
Maestrana.
Namaste.
Is our other caller
Yeah,
still?
Yeah, no, I'm still here.
Excellent. So I'm curious also if you have met people more recently than your grandmother who you regarded as old in this greater sense.
Yeah, no, I've definitely met a few people like that. There was this one experience where I had where I not only felt that, like, immediate connection, but, like, also felt like they were, like, an old soul, you know what I mean? I hate to use that term, like, old soul, because it sounds so, like, I don't know. I feel like people throw that around and they don't really, like, know what they're, like, mean, you know?
Well, the words, they form meanings inside your mouth, inside your head and your tongue. So feel free to use the words and abuse them as you will.
Yeah, I think...
I like that idea. I like to abuse words. Like, I like to make up my own words, you know?
We have had in the past a neologistic expert who routinely would create words, but amazingly, the words that she would create, it would transmit meaning beautifully, even though the words had never been spoken.
Oh man, that's what I'm interested in with, like, creating words. Is like, is there, like, a word to describe what that is when you make, like, when you make a word that people just instantly understand without it? Like, it can be understood through context, but, like, I feel like sometimes, like, I know exactly what you mean, where the words just, it is its meaning.
Precisely. And there are languages where this is a fundamental part of the linguistic enterprise. Well, sadly, caller, we are reaching now the end.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm really glad that I got to speak to you guys.
Well, thank you so much for joining our circle.
Thank you. I'll call again.
And thanks, of course, for listening, caller. Well, what a wonderful time it has been, Aurora.
It's always wonderful to be here with you, Dr. Jollis.
Well, thank you for once again sharing this experience with me.
And thank you to all those callers who shared with them as well.
I am Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you, here every Friday at 7 p.m. on 88.1 FM WMBR in Cambridge. Stay tuned now for Massachusetts Bay and Response. Ma'asarana. Thank you.
points for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians.